Sibby and Namka have been reaching out and recording or ministering to Rohingya refugees. It was arranged that they would, the school that they started, the day school, those children would come to hear the birthday story of Jesus, along with any parents. And then the older group that were in school also, it was this last Wednesday and Thursday. Sibby wrote this: Namka and I had a faithful outreach, the story of a great joy of salvation for Rohingya children. We aimed to communicate the gospel message relevantly and clearly to Rohingya children in their most formative stage of physical, emotional, and intellectual development, which we did as God ordained in his providence. Praise God for that. Everything happened the way we planned and anticipated. According to our planning, on the first day, 32 children and 13 parents, including a few volunteers, came. One of the parents who accompanied the children on the first day of the outreach told us that it was her first experience coming out with children and having such special treat for her. Later, when she came back to the community, she told the people that we were teaching about Jesus. This is Muslim community. She told them we were teaching about Jesus. Her communication gave a bit negative impression in the community, but it turned out to be positive. Earlier, only 45 older children were signed up for coming on the second day event, but 63 children, along with 12 guardians, came from the community. There's some 40,000 Rohingya refugees in New Delhi, in three different encampments, and most of those are on dump sites. So we had altogether 120 participants attend the story of great joy of salvation celebration. The children were so excited when they got to the park. They wanted to explore various playground types of equipment and play with them. After the children played in the park for a while, Sibby shared his paraphrased Christmas story in an Islamic context without compromising the biblical account of Jesus' story. One of the preschool teachers and volunteers from the community translated the story excellently into the Rohingya language for both days, which enriched the kids' understanding of the story, and it became more interesting for children and adults to listen. We had a lot of laughter and fun while communicating the story to them, which gave us the sign they are into the story. While the story was being told to the children in the outreach, the parents and volunteers were listening to the story with great interest. Some of the ladies were discussing in between about Jesus and Mary very seriously. We had to stop them to avoid children from distraction, but we felt that storytelling is powerful with good questions to engage with children. After the story, we had a prize-winning game for children, and winners got their first, second, and third prizes. We were amazed at how the little kids grasped the story and responded to the questions from the story. The birth of Jesus was the most interesting thing in the story for both younger and older children. What they learned about God from the story are: God is almighty. Nothing is impossible for him. God speaks, and his word never fails. The preschool kids felt happy about the birth of Isa, they call him. Isa's miraculous birth and his miracles. It made them sad when nobody gave a place for Isa to be born. The family had to flee to Egypt and live like refugees. That brings it into their culture. Kids also observed that Mariam and Joseph, shepherds and the wise men, obeyed God. Both younger and older children said, "We must obey God like Mary, and help others." One of the little girls who was studying in the fifth grade said that nobody opened their homes or helped Miriam and Yusuf to give birth to their son Isa. But we should open our homes and help others. They could not answer the last question: what must I do to obey God from the story? Probably this must be a hard question for anybody to answer. We could not hold them too long after having McMeals. So Sibby left the question for them to think and continue the conversation with kids in our preschool and community context. McDonald's meal was something we promised as a special treat for children, since most of the kids and volunteers never had an experience with McDonald's. Besides blessing kids with a special treat, the outreach also intended to expose them to cross-cultural understanding and interreligious learning, to appreciate other cultures and religious values, to live in a globalized world without detaching from their cultural and religious values. We felt it is wise to bring McDonald's meals for smaller kids, 3 to 5 year olds, after consulting with children's parents. So we ordered McDonald's to be delivered to the children to the park near their community. The kids enjoyed fries, burgers, and orange canned juice like anything. They did not bother about going to McDonald's, as it is unknown to them. However, the second day we took the older kids to McDonald's and they had a fabulous time. We had to orient kids to come fresh with clean clothes for outings and to keep minimum discipline when they are outing, especially inside McDonald's. The children did a great job, especially in the McDonald's, until McDonald's guys enlivened the kids with their offers. They were so friendly and open with the kids. The manager told me to please let the kids be themselves and let them make a mess. We will clean up the place. It appears to us that the kids and McDonald's had fun, and they were pictures with kids and offering different things for kids. Some people in the McDonald's inquired about the children and the work we do in their community. They showed much interest and appreciated our work. Since the public is very interested in such initiatives, I thought of doing some fundraising right there, but we had enough time. We did not have enough time in the providence of God. God provided enough finances to cover the expenses of the outreach, like buying McMeals, gifts, transportation, and volunteers' honorariums. Besides our friends' generous contribution, we were able to raise about $250 from selling handmade products from our local church in Delhi toward this purpose. We were also donated burgers, fries, and drinks worth 2,500 rupees by McDonald's when they shared with them about our work and vision for the Rohingya children in their community. They provided their entire facility for us the whole time. The money we raised for the Story of Great Joy of Salvation for Rohingya Children campaign spent 100% on the Rohingya community itself by providing special meals for children, using their means of transportation, battery-operated rickshaw, from their community, giving an honorarium to the volunteers. Namka and I, have learned over the years that we need to use all the means within the community to generate resources and maximize them for the community's benefit. Our take from the outreach is that we organized several mega gospel outreaches in the city among adults. This was the first time for us to organize outreach for the children through storytelling. And the takeaway, number one, Sibby got into this storytelling thing after he was asked to share a story for children when we went to Maldives recently. That would be a country that you and I cannot go into. It is locked. It is closed. It is Islamic, and they do not allow proselytizing. Sibby and Namka went there about a month and a half ago, roughly, on vacation with some other Christian vacationers, and he was asked just to tell a story to children, and that was the outreach. Rewriting or paraphrasing biblical stories in an Islamic context is a fascinating imagination and a great learning process of truth from interreligious theology. He is a strong Christian. He's not blending, but he's reaching them where they are. When we rewrite stories in our people's context, it simply challenges our intellectual and spiritual stand, and the children teach us new knowledge from their pure heart. It was a fascinating and new learning experience working with kids. Number two takeaway, Christmas challenges us to transform ourselves as gifts by all means for others' salvation. This requires a good amount of our time and energy to visit the community, listen to people, and understand them. This also involves resources to help people's physical needs. We've been helping their communities in different ways, building shelter, providing food, and our church family, maybe you're new with this, has been extensively involved with that since 2019. Providing food, clothing, tailoring equipment, sponsoring training that helps to create income, and then with school supplies, etc. NAMCA spent enormous time with ladies in the community, building relationships and trust, especially with a young lady and her family in the community. She has been teaching them how to use their hands, or sewing machine or whatever, to sell that and generate income for their family. So it's very practical. Number three takeaway, our effort in the Lord is not in vain. The Lord opened the young lady's heart to serve and bless her community, the one that NAMCA had been working with. As a result, we initiated Morningstar, a preschool in the community, which became a platform for education and discipleship for people in the community, especially for children, for their better future. So creating an acceptable platform in the community is crucial for discipleship and people development. We are so pleased with the way God used this opportunity to minister to these precious children with the most amazing story of Jesus' birth. Number four, NAMCA is so inspired by seeing the opportunity for discipleship and the amazing response from her small and simple initiative of running preschool. She is thinking about doing a campaign to, quote, stop children begging in the capital but go to school, which is their right. Nothing can substitute their education right, which develops them. Morningstar Preschool is just the beginning of the dawn. God's Word, the text of God's Word, is the foundation and source of knowledge for Morningstar Preschool. It illuminates the mind, changes the heart, attitude, character, and behavior, serves others, and transforms our world. So our discipleship and education aim to champion the young generation of Rohingya children for a better future. We have several needs like teachers' stipends, midday meals for children, uniforms, school supply, and other practical things. When you partner with us to run the preschool and invest in Rohingya children's future, or you invest in Rohingya children's future. Thank you for praying for the work among the refugee communities in Delhi. And then the final paragraph, let me conclude this outreach account here along with asking your prayers for children and adults who heard the Christmas story, that God would help the gospel seed to grow in their hearts and bring its fruit in due time. Secondly, pray for Morningstar Preschool needs. And it became a great platform for continuous education and discipleship in the community. Thank you so much for praying and supporting us to reach out to the people in this city. May you find all sufficiency and every fulfillment in Christ, God's indescribable gift to us. With much joy and hope in Jesus, Sibi and NAMCA. Thank you. I hope you can meet them someday. I am looking forward to Sibi and Namka being able to come. They tried to get visas as their daughter Karina came to school here in the United States, and they weren't successful in getting those visas to come across. You might pray that they do. You would love them. But I want to say to you, for those that were able to, that you knew about this and were praying last week, thank you. You got to participate in the teamwork. The Rohingya people, Muslim people, in our culture, there are those that absolutely despise Muslim people because they're Muslim, not realizing that so many are born into it. They had no choice about that. These people, Sibi and Namka, have a heart to win these people to Jesus. And I hope our heart can be softened to at least pray to that very end. And then it was, as was asked about last week, I think it was, the blending of Islam and Christianity. There is no blend. The only common denominator is there's people stamped in the image of God that God loves. And they need to hear this message. Them being able to do this in the formative years, what a way to start our Christmas celebration. What a way. So, Father, we bow before you and just say amen to these requests of prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for the prayer that Sibi and Namka and others right there in Delhi put in to this outreach. Lord, among 22 million people, 40,000 Muslim Rohingya refugees, they were able to touch a few. And that's how the church began in Acts chapters 1 and 2. So, Lord, may it penetrate deep with truth, with life from the living God. Thank you for this little school, Morning Star, that little Namka started. Yet, Lord, in your way of exponentially developing ministry, may it happen. We pray that right there in that little preschool of 3 to 5 year olds, there would be some that are rebirthed into Christ Jesus and become missionaries in their own community, become leaders with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, for the adults and children that heard that message just in the last few days, I pray that it wouldn't just get settled and be just an experience, but Lord God, that it would have a work in their mind and in their heart, drawing them to the Savior. That was the purpose, and that's our prayer. The seed planted, and Father, watering it how you will. I pray that we could even hear of results of that. Show us further as a local church here in a little obscure spot in Oregon how to reach out and be engaged in valid ministries. But thank you for that brother Sibi and his wife Namka. Wow, what great, great people. Thank you, Lord, that we can do that. And Lord, we're engaged with people other places around this planet. Some of us just individually or as families, and some as the church community. Thank you, Lord. Help us, keep us from getting nearsighted and ingrown. Lord, help us to ever look to those needs that we might be able to reach out and help, whether it's financial or all we can do is pray. Father, keep breathing life into us through an ongoing life, Lord, of ministry. Thank you for your scripture. It has its way, and I pray that you would have your way in our mind and heart even today. In Jesus' name, amen. I had kind of a different plan until I got this report from Sibi, and I thought, I want to start there. I want to share that with you because it's an us thing. I didn't dismiss nursery. I've been people sneaking around. Maybe they've already gone their way. If not, let's go ahead and dismiss the nursery folks. Let's see. Chloe is on. Is somebody else helping Chloe this week? Thank you, Jen. And I would like to continue on this teaching and then come back and sing a couple of these pertinent songs. The Christmas story, we're there again. I just took the Christmas tree lights off 3 weeks ago, it seems like. Man, slipped by us. The Christmas story, we just heard Sibby telling it for the first time to some people. They'd never heard it before. And in our culture, we can't get away from it. Go into a store and there's the music, yet it becomes just that so easily. Background noise, elevator music. It's that time again. Oh boy, the pressures. Oh, I want to abandon that. I want to focus again on what the Christmas story is really about. That he had the privilege of sharing that with Muslim people who've never heard it before. And we in our culture, it surrounds us. It's over the airwaves continually. It's at church to church to church. Through the community, there's all of the lights and so forth. But how many of those have never heard the Christmas story to know what we're even talking about? Disclaimer number one, and maybe only for this moment, is Jesus was most likely not born on December 25th. Let's get that out of the way. Okay. Probably September sometime. Maybe October 19th. That's my birthday, but anyway, not December 25th. There was a pagan holiday and it was not on December 25th. It was December 21st. This did not start from a pagan holiday. There are some other descriptions as to how it may have started to be celebrated on the 25th. One of those is the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Right around December 25th to be born in September. Just an interesting bit of trivia. Interesting thought. But the world celebrates it on that day. So let's talk about what it really is so others can know the truth about it. That is my point. That is my point. The Christmas story. By the time, though, at the time that Jesus was born, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 to start with. We're going to look at some other scriptures that are very, very pertinent. It was celebrated by what's called a multitude of heavenly hosts, angelic beings. His birth was celebrated in such a way as no other birth has ever been celebrated. His birth was important. To just toss it away because it's become commercial is missing the point. Toss the commercials, sure. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. Celebrate it all year long if you want to. But this is the time when the rest of the world does. Perfect opportunity for us to come along and say, do you know what that's really about? In Jesus' time, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, please. But the beginning. The angelic multitudes in Luke chapter 2 expressed loud praises to God Almighty who had become flesh, became a man, a baby. Wow. Matthew chapter 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and that was a legal happening, before they came together sexually, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. There are those that would be still skeptical. No, she wasn't really a virgin. She thought she was. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her because he didn't think she was anymore, was going to put her away, divorce her secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Yeshua means. Now, all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Join me, please, at Isaiah chapter 7. The prophet through whom God announced these things. As prophets go, a lot of their prophecies were rather obscure. They were not like a roadmap, dot to dot to dot. You can follow it in sequence. In Isaiah, the prophet begins with a prophecy about Israel at the time, and that was clearly with details and was fulfilled exactly like he said it would happen. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah was at the time, and it says it here, of King Uzziah, and then his son Jotham, then his son Ahaz, and his son Hezekiah. Uzziah, good king, 52 years, good king. Did some bad things, but a good king. Jotham didn't reign very long, good king. Ahaz? Evil, wicked, not believing in God. His son Hezekiah, good king of Judah, each one of the four kings. Chapter 7, verse 1. It came about in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, that's Ahaz, saying the Arameans have encamped, they've joined Ephraim, and they're coming this way, his heart and the hearts of the people shook as trees of the forest shake with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, prophet, go out now and meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear-Jashub. Shear-Jashub means a remnant shall return. Please turn to chapter 8, verse 18. Isaiah writes, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. He's a sign. You and your son Shear-Jashub, a remnant will return. That means that the rest of them go out into captivity. But God won't forget about them. And this one, his very name, who he was as a person, represented the sign of what God was going to do to restore a remnant back to Israel. You and your son Shear-Jashub, go out and meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, take care, be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands on account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. Because of Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has planned evil against you, saying, let us go up to Judah and terrorize it. Make for ourselves a breach in its walls and set up the son of Tabel, or Tabael, as king in its midst. For thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand or come to pass. Don't worry about those guys. This is to non-believing Ahaz. For the head of Aram is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. Now, within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered. And it was. So that it is no longer a people. They were taken captive up into Assyria. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, the king of idolatry, the capital of idolatry, Samaria. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. God's saying, I'm going to take care of these guys. Don't worry about them. And then he says, if you will not believe Ahaz, surely you will not last. So then the Lord spoke to Ahaz saying, you want to be certain it's going to happen? That's implied. Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim. Ask a sign. Make it as deep as Sheol. Make it as high as heaven. God is saying, ask me to prove I'm going to do this and make me sweat. Make it a tough one. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And we spin that to sound righteous and humble, but it wasn't. It was saying, take your message and get out of my face. Then he said, Isaiah said, listen now, O house of David. Ahaz is that representative now. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself is going to choose, and here's going to be the sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Following this context, I don't have any other conclusion but this. Isaiah's next son was named Emmanuel, who is God with us. Not him, the person, but that's what the name represents. Watch it. Don't leave town yet. Hang on to this. Running context. Emmanuel. The Hebrew word that we get virgin from can be translated virgin, never had sexual relationship, or it can be young woman who already has two kids or three kids. Same Hebrew word to describe either. Isaiah's wife already had she or Jashub. And now one that is named Emmanuel. A child will be born, and she will name him Emmanuel. And here's what he represents. Verse 15, he will eat curds and honey. That might sound grandiose to us and very special, but it's not. It's famine food. That's all they had to eat. And you'll see that as he goes on. At the time, he knows enough to refuse good and refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy, Emmanuel, will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. And the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on your father's house such days as have never come since the days that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. You're worried about Aram and Ephraim? They're going to be nothing. Now, you have not believed Assyria is coming down. Watch it develop now. The Lord will bring on you and your people, the king of Assyria. Verse 18, it will come about in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the remotest part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, and they will all come and settle on the steep ravines, on the ledges of the cliffs, on all the thorn bushes, on all the watering places. In that day the Lord will shave with a razor hired from regions beyond Euphrates, that is, the king of Assyria. The head and the hair of the legs, this is total humbling, total overcoming. And it will also remove the beard, total humiliation. Now it will come about in that day that a man will keep alive a heifer and a pair of sheep. And it will happen that because of the abundance of milk, that's all he can get, unless he kills them, then he has no more milk. He will eat curds, for everyone that is left within the land will eat curds and honey. It will come about in that day that every place where there used to be 1,000 vines, valued at 1,000 shekels of silver, will become briars and thorns. People will come there with bows and arrows, because all the land will be briars and thorns. There will be nothing left to conquer. And for all the hills which used to be cultivated with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns. But they will become a place for pasturing oxen, for sheep to trample. That was the historical setting. Israel reading this, the scribes teaching this, would have presented it as history, as I've just walked through with you. Chapter 8, then the Lord said to me, Isaiah, take a large tablet and write on it in ordinary letters, swift is the booty, speedy is the prey. To make that simplified, Meher Shalal Hashbaz. Just write that on there. Okay. And I will take to myself faithful witnesses for testimony, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. So I approached the prophetess. That's his wife. We're getting kind of personal here. They had their sexual encounter, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. Then the Lord said to me, name your son Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And you know what I'm going to say next, right? I love that name. My favorite name in the whole Bible. Just flows so easy off the tip of your tongue. Come here, Meher Shalal Hashbaz. You know, okay, name the kid that. What does that mean? Swift is the booty, speedy the prey. Every time they saw this young boy that grew up a little bit, they thought, we're going to be overcome. We're going to be trampled down. Yet, here's the boy, God is with us. Yet, here is the boy, a remnant shall return. I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. But it keeps going. For before the boy knows how to cry out, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus, the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. He is about to come. And again the Lord spoke to me further, saying, inasmuch as these people have not believed, they have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah. That's God in his provision, God in his protection. And they rejoice in Rezin, the son of Remaliah. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord is about to bring on them the strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise up over its channels, over all its banks. Then it will sweep on into Judah that is no longer believing. It will overflow and pass through. It will reach even to the neck. Swift is the booty, speedy the prey. The spread of its wings will fill the breadth of your land. What's it say? Oh, Emmanuel. Appealing to one who doesn't just have the name, but the one whose land it is. God with us. There's a focus that starts to come in right here. Be broken, O peoples, be shattered. Give ear, all remote places of the earth, and that's where we live. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. In other words, devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal. You're not going to get out from under this. It's going to happen. It is determined by God. Make whatever kind of plan you will. Pray as heartily as you want. This is going to happen. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Emmanuel. It keeps going. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people. this people that are saying, oh, excuse me, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard to all that this people are calling a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. If you would like to quickly turn back to 1 Peter 3, I want to show you something here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter quotes these very verses to us as believers. The end of quoting several scriptures, verse 12, 1 Peter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears attend to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Here we go. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Now he quotes Isaiah that I just read. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. Now he's going to quote the next verse that I read. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Make holy Christ as Lord in your heart. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you of the hope that is within you, even with meekness and fear. Isaiah chapter 8 says it this way. Verse 12. You are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy. And Peter says, make holy Christ in your hearts, the Lord of hosts. Christ Jesus is starting to take center stage here in Isaiah. Back to Isaiah 8. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread. He shall become your sanctuary, your place of refuge. What is Jesus to us? That very thing. Particularly those who are in him have refuge from the wrath of God. We have been saved and are placed as sons. He is our refuge. He shall be a sanctuary, but to both houses of Israel, a stone to strike, a rock to stumble over. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 21 about himself. That is what Paul says in Romans 9:33 about Christ and why the Israelites refused him. Because he is the stone to strike, rock to stumble over, a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem because they would not believe. Many will stumble over them, the stone, the rock, the snare, the trap, and they will fall and be broken. They will even be snared and caught. Verse 16 comes back to the authoritative word of God. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. And then Isaiah says, and I will wait for the Lord, Yahweh, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel at the time. From the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, consult the mediums, consult the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law, to the testimony, the word of God. If they do not speak according to the word, it is because they have no dawn. And they will pass through, the land will be hard-pressed and famished. It will turn out that when they are hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and curse their God as they face upward. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. But something greater is going on. It happened in history. It unfolded with the details that are given by Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 8. But something greater was going on. Please turn to Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin with a Christmas story, verse 1. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, it's measurable on the calendar when it took place, that a census was taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and he was. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. I would have to go back to Bellflower, California. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Feel the chill of the night for a moment. You're looking up the stars. You're talking about what you're going to do the next day. And, you know, by the way, I'm still missing a sheep. Common night for them. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. All of a sudden, you are in the light that's beyond light. You're in something that has never been experienced by you, that's for sure. Terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, Bethlehem," like Micah 5:2 specifically said, "there has been born for you a Savior who is Messiah, the Anointed One, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." Some of you could preach this little part of the sermon because you've heard it from me multiple times. It is crucial. Many of our Bibles have words in italics. Those are not in the text. They are simply included because it's implied in the text. Or it helps smooth out our English sentence, as is this case. Please remove the words "will be." This, a sign for you. Next, the Greek grammar is critical at this point. Critical. There's something called a definite article and an indefinite article. What's an indefinite article? One of many. Indefinite article. What is a definite article? One and only. This is a definite article. Here it comes. "Will be born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this the sign." Next important thing to understand. Like the Hebrew, the Greek had no punctuation. Thank you for talented translators that know how to put those tools in so I can read it and make sense out of it. When I look at my Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, I can't make it out because there's no punctuation. It's a tool. It just run on Greek. That's hard. And I happen to believe that right here, the punctuation in most of our Bibles is incorrect. There should be a period and maybe even an exclamation point. "And this, the sign." What sign? The ultimate sign. Isaiah had a son. I believe it. The context shows it. It flows so easily that he named Shear Jashub, and then one named Emmanuel, then one named Maher Shalal Hashbaz. These, I and my sons, will be a sign. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. This is going to be the sign. And it's directed, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. Well, back then, it's either a virgin, literally, or a young maiden who has had children before. Some of you mamas would qualify to be one of those. The rest of you young ladies would qualify to be the other. In Greek, there's a word for each. This, the sign. No wonder there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God in the highest. Glory to God. That's going to come in another verse. This, the sign, period. The sign wasn't that he's wrapped in baby clothes and even that he's lying in a manger. That's no sign. There could have been a number of major. They had a lot of people and little motel work. Okay? That is not the sign. He is the sign. Jesus. And this, verse 12, the sign for you. Circumstantially, you will find a baby. He's human. He's real. He's the Savior, but he's a baby. He's a man. Man cub. Wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. And the only audience was the little shepherds out there, terrified. What a moment. What a celebration of a birth of the one that became flesh. Celebrating, crying out glory to the Almighty God who is now in baby form. Became a man. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among men with whom he is well pleased. With whom he has to do. Ones that are believing him. They are the ones that have peace. The others do not have peace. How many Christmas cards have we already received that say peace on earth and goodwill among men? They prated them up, all the glitter, all the fancy things we try to do to bring up these feelings of glory, when just stop and recognize what has happened here. That card is but a reminder. That's right. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. He is the sign that God had promised. Isaiah's son was a foreshadow. This is the mega fulfillment. You're going to see that more, God willing, next week. We're going to get deeper into that. At least that's my plan. We'll see if it's the Lord's plan. And it came about when the angels had gone away into heaven, all of a sudden got dark again. The shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which was told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I wonder if these are the first converts to the Lord Jesus. Not the high and lofty and intellectual, simple shepherds. Please return to the beginning, Matthew chapter 1. With all that background, I want to read this one more time. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, hallelujah for his integrity, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And the fear would have been reputation as well. For she will bear a son, and you will call his name Greek Jesus, Hebrew Yeshua, English Jesus, Spanish German. His name will be called Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Yeshua means God is salvation. Every time they called him that, there was a reminder that God is salvation. But more than that, this one is salvation. Now, this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet that affected Israel in history, but now is a greater fulfillment by the mighty design of God. Behold the virgin, and this means virgin in the Greek language. Not young maiden who might have had other children. The virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name, not what they will call him on the street, but his name will be Emmanuel, not like Isaiah's son that was just assigned the name. This means who he was. This means what he was. God with us. That is who he is by person. Called Jesus. God is salvation. And Joseph rose from his sleep and did as the angel had commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And the rest of it unfolds. Is there a reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus? It's fun when I celebrate your birthday and you celebrate mine. It's kind of different. I've had those surprises, and you've had those surprises, or maybe they failed at their surprising. But this one, wow! Told by Isaiah over 700 years before he was birthed. In the midst, God wove it into the tapestry of their history. Emmanuel there, the foreshadow of Emmanuel. God with us. Interaction. Fred?
I find it instructive, the group of people that were first witness. These shepherds, I don't know what societal status they had in those days, but if they're anything like today, they were not exactly the cream of the crop. I've met shepherds who lived out in the open, and they were uncouth and liked their red wine and had a hard life. And I suspect it was like that then. And it wasn't the Pharisees that were witness first, or the good citizens of Bethlehem who locked their doors against the travelers. I mean, it was the shepherds, the low people, us.
I'm a shepherd.
I've chosen a couple of Christmas songs that have a message wrapped around this. Songs that if we just hear them at Walmart, we keep shopping. Let's enjoy the moment. And I'm going to encourage you as well, as you read that Christmas card, let whatever statement they put across the front of it remind you of deeper truths. Let it take you deeper. And if the occasion calls, maybe write back to the person the full message of that card that they sent to you and say, thank you. Wow, look at this.